I hear a lot of people saying the blues, the blues, but I'm gonna tell you what the blues is. When you ain't got no money.
Welcome to Row 2 Play Podcast. I am your game master, Kent Blue. We are an actual play podcast where I play tabletop role-playing games with my friends from all over the world. So if you're ready, grab a player sheet, grab some dice, and let's row to play. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Roto Play Podcast. My name is Kent Blue, and I am your Game Master, and I am so glad for everyone to be back. This is the second week of our relationship month of February, and we're wrapping up our game of Hot Guys Making Out with Austin Wilson of the Hideous Energy Podcast, of Ledger Books, writer of comics, just all-around great, creative, awesome dude. Check Austin out. Go over to austinrwilson.com. You can find links to everything that Austin is doing, including the graphic novel Reproduct from Magnetic Press, which he wrote and is illustrated by Logan Farber with letters by David Hopkins. It's got a couple of backups with art by Seth Haney and Sabrina Scott. Definitely check it out. Reproduct is such a cool graphic novel. I've read it. I really enjoy it. And you know, it really kind of fits in with this relationship month. Go over to austinrwilson.com and you can find a link to buy it. Well worth your time, well worth your money. All right, another thing I want to talk about is I will be at Gen Con. That is the weekend of August 2nd. I know that's a long time away, but it's my first Gen Con. I am super, super excited to be there. And if you're going to be there, get with me. Hit me up on Twitter at RotoPlayPod. Find me over on the Facebook page, RotoPlay Podcast. Send me an email at RotoPlayPodcast@gmail.com and say, hey, I'm going to be there. Let's meet up. We can definitely chat. I'll probably walk around with you because I've never been to Gen Con and hope you show me some really cool stuff. Maybe we can sit down and get a game in while we're there. It would be super awesome. I want to meet everybody. But we have plenty of time to plan that out, but I just wanted to put that out there in everybody's mind. I will definitely be at Gen Con. Another thing I want you to check out is Doug over at Victory Condition Gaming has started a podcast. He is posting up his Tiny Dungeon 2nd Edition actual play that they are running over on his YouTube channel. He's taking the shows and putting them out in podcast form. Definitely go out, subscribe to it. It's on all the podcast platforms. Get over to iTunes, rate and review them. And while you're there, go ahead and give Roto Play a rate and review if you haven't already. Really appreciate it. Helps the show grow. Gets it out there for everybody to hear and listen to and enjoy. All right, and with all that said, let's get right back into the new relationship of Gonzalvo and Honore. And what is this threat? What do these numbers mean that are counting down? Why did they attack Oliver? Maybe they didn't, but something definitely happened with Oliver there. So, let's get right back in the middle of it. Hot Guys Making Out with Austin Wilson. Alright, so where do we want to set this scene? And where and when?
I think the next morning makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too.
As far as where... Actually, I think Oliver's bedroom.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that Honore would probably have stayed there all night, to, and Gonzalo maybe too, but Honore definitely would have stayed there by his bedside all night
to
monitor him.
Making sure he's okay.
Yeah, so we open and it's just morning, is the sun's just beginning to rise and a light's starting to come in. We can, and Honore's sitting there in a chair next to the bed that Oliver is resting in. And so you can bring us in with Gonzalo.
Alrighty. So I will play a three of hearts. So Gonzalo is sitting on one side of the bed and Honore is sitting on the other side of the bed. They're both in their chairs. They overlooked, or, you know, they oversaw Oliver. They weren't sure they should let him go to sleep in case he had a concussion. Not really sure what they should do, or if even, I don't know, did people know about concussions back then? They just weren't sure what to do. Oliver seemed okay. You know, he had his faculties about him still. He could talk, and he, you know, he managed to get up the stairs and get to the bedroom okay. But now he's asleep. The sun's coming up. Gonzalvo and Honoré have slept fitfully in their own chairs, and now Gonzalvo's stretching, and he looks across and sees Honoré is already awake, and he's staring at his butler, his maid, this man he's lived with for who knows how many years. He's staring at him with a tenderness that Gonzalvo is almost just knocked over completely by. It's a look that he's never seen someone hold as long as Honoré is, and Gonzalvo says to him, "I think you may be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen."
I'm just all smiles over here.
I would be too. It's a big deal.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the Ten of Hearts. So Honoré looks up at Gonzalvo and smiles, and he reaches across his butler and takes Honoré's hand, or Gonzalvo's hand, and takes Gonzalvo's hand. And he says, "Well, I'm surrounded by beautiful things every day, this manor, the ground surrounding it, and everything just, it got much more beautiful whenever you stepped out of that car and into the rain and I saw you, and everything here that is beautiful just pales in comparison to what you have brought here and brought into my life. And you may think that I am the most beautiful thing, but I know looking at you that you make everything around you even more beautiful. You radiate just this beauty into everything and just amplifies it in everything. So if I am the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, it is only because you are making me beautiful." And he squeezes Gonzalo's hand, and just they look into each other's eyes.
Okay, I think I can play one card then. It is a King of Clubs, which means Gonzalvo is so happy to hear those things. He's happy to have Honoré's hands in his, and he's never had anyone say anything like that to him. And the idea that it could be true is intoxicating, but he also can't help but think this is impossible, and that Honoré's life is on a different track than his, and he knew his father, Honoré knew Gonzalvo's father, and that it seems like a bad idea to fall in love with this man, but he also knows sometimes you can't control who you fall in love with. And he says to Honoré, "What happens when I leave?"
All right, I'm going to play the Queen of Clubs. All right, so I get to take a normal action. So when Gonzalvo asks what happens when I leave here, Honoré looks at him and says, "Well, I was hoping that maybe you, I mean, I was hoping that you wouldn't leave." Now, hope and knowing are two different things, because as much as I hoped you wouldn't leave, equally a part of me knew that you would. You have your studies to go back to, and I mean you have your own life. You probably have two arrangements to make to take over your father and your mother's estate and their possessions. So as much as the fantasy is there, where I hope and see that I see this, you living here at this manor and on these grounds with me, I know that you do, that one day you would leave. And when you do, I'm not sure, really. I think that I will maybe feel cold again. Not to burden you with that, but that's my worry, is that this warmth that I feel with you here in my home, I worry that warmth will slowly fade, and everything will be cold, and this manor will just be a shell surrounded just in dark coldness. And he kind of looks down into his lap, and then he gives Gonzalo's hand another squeeze and kind of pulls his hand back away and lets his hands just rest in his lap.
And I have to pass, which means we are going to sit in tense silence.
I think tense silence is perfect for this situation. All right, I do have a card. It was the Jack of Clubs that I could play. And so after a tense silence, Honoré looks up and he begins to speak. But at this moment, Oliver begins to stir and kind of comes out of, he comes awake and he looks over and he says, he sees Honoré and he looks over the other way. He sees Gonzalo sitting there and he can feel the emotional tension, even though he's just woke up. It's there and he feels it, and he kind of coughs a little bit and he speaks and he says, I will, and he tries to sit up. He says, I will go, and he coughs a little bit and he says, I'll go make tea, as he tries to sit up, and he gets part of the way there, and Honoré puts a hand on his chest and says, no, you get your rest, dear friend. I'll make tea, and I'll bring you tea, and I will go to the kitchen. I will bring you a nice breakfast to help you regain your strength. And he kind of rubs his finger up on Oliver's head where he has a gash across his head that's been kind of crudely sewn as best as Honoré could do. He kind of rubs it up, and Oliver winces at the touch, and Honoré smiles at the butler, and he looks at Gonzalo and smiles and says, how about you come with me, Gonzalo, and let's make Oliver the best breakfast he's ever had. Nice cup of tea and some bacon, and just really, and he kind of pats Oliver's leg as he walks out. He says, just really, really get his day started, and let's get his energy built back up, because, well, and he chuckles and says, I don't enjoy making the tea. And it'd be nice if we could have Oliver back on his feet for those purposes. And he kind of walks out of the room and takes Gonzalo with him.
I have to pass again. So another tense silence.
All right. And I also have to pass. All right. So let's recall these cards. We'll set a new scene. All right. So let's see. What kind of scene? I think breakfast and all of that's passed. I think it's evening, and I think maybe Gonzalo has started to pack his bags a little bit. Maybe he's not leaving tonight, but I think it's becoming clear that he is made up his mind that it's about, unless you disagree, that it's about time that he's getting ready, maybe building himself up to leaving.
No, that makes sense to me too. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we can start with Gonzalo's by himself in the room he's been staying in.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see what I can play. Let's do a seven of diamonds. So Gonzalo's looking over his things, his trousers, which have been perfectly ironed and folded, even though Oliver is supposed to be off of his feet and relaxing. He knows that he shouldn't be doing these things, but he's made sure that Master Gonzalo's things are good. Gonzalo's looking at his clothes, his bag, and thinking about all of the things that he's experienced since he showed up here. You know, he lost his parents, but there's a bedrock of grief within him, but above that is this exciting newness He feels like he has changed, and there's an idea that adulthood isn't what he thought it would be, but right now it seems manageable, and he's excited. He's excited to leave, and that makes him sad because he doesn't want to leave, but he also knows becoming who he needs to become is maybe only going to happen if he leaves.
All right, I'm going to follow up with a 7 of hearts.
Oh, the hearts!
So, Honore comes to the door to check on Gonzalvo, to just see what he's up to, because previously they've kind of spent a lot of time together, doing different things, walking through the woods, playing billiards for a little bit, and just sitting and talking. But today, after they made breakfast and took it to Oliver, they kind of parted ways and have spent a lot of the day not really together. Honore's been in his study reading some books and taking care of, you know, some business that he takes care of. And Gonzalo's been off just kind of walking around the grounds, taking everything in, just kind of taking in the estate and the manor, going through each room except for the study and just looking at everything and trying to remember try to picture what it would have been like when his father was there and what him and Honore would talk about and do and how they would spend their time in the house. And he's just trying to get this picture in his mind. And so Honore comes up and he knocks, the door's open, but he knocks on the jamb to kind of announce himself. And Gonzalvo turns around and looks at him and Honore says, I want you to stay, Gonzalvo. There is something real here between us. The moment we kissed in the woods, you can't deny that. You can't say that there's not something. And I'm just going to lay it out. I want you to stay here with me. And at that moment, he says that the lamp by the bedside, and then the light above the bed, they both flicker on, and they light up really intensely, and then they shatter, and the glass just shoots out, and it covers the bed, the one from the lamp, and the one above the bed sprays out, and some of it hits Gonzalvo, and it doesn't stick into him bad, but it definitely, he gets a couple scratches on him and everything, and when this happens, Honore looks up, and he sees just kind of the filament as it's burning out the rest of the way, he sees a 7. And which suddenly changes into a 6 as he's watching it.
Oh. Okay. Well, what did you play? You played 7. Seven of hearts. Okay. That means I have to play. Shit. All right. I have to play a Joker. Gonzalvo is shocked, absolutely as scared as possible by this. He has some lacerations on the backs of his hands, and 2 on one of his cheeks. He's shaking and he's exclaiming out loud, "Ay, Dios mío!" And he doesn't know what's going on. And he says to Honore, "What is this? What is this?" And when he looks at Honore, he sees a knowing frown. He's not shaking. He's not scared. And where the glass lacerated Gonzalvo lightly, but enough that he has marks, he looks at Honore and sees that his skin is perfect and that he has no marks. And he notices it's not just that he has no marks from the glass, that he has no marks on him at all. It's the first time he's ever really noticed it. He's ever really looked and paid attention that he is literally flawless.
All right. I'm going to follow that up with a tense silence. As the two of them stare at each other, it's just nothing is said out loud, but Honoré is just Gonzalvo realizes that there's something. Well, just hold on. I'm not supposed to explain about the characters. I've been doing that wrong the whole time, even though I've been staring at my sheet. So okay. So I'm gonna pass, and the room you still hear the glass as it's just the last final pieces are hitting the ground and hitting the walls, and the room is brighter, but it's as if a little bit. It's Honoré is not glowing or anything, but the light is definitely brighter, just a little bit around him. Yeah. And that's where, I'll end it at that.
Okay. I will play a king of diamonds. Gonzalvo continues staring at Honoré and wondering. Oddly, the very first thing that Gonzalvo wonders is if he's dead. Has he died? Did he not successfully make it to the manor of his father's friend? Did he not make it where he was supposed to go and something happened? It's possible. Anything happens. It can happen in war. You can be sitting with your friends 1 second, and then the next second a mortar hits and it's darkness. Is that what happened? There seems to be no explanation for what he's encountering. So the possibility that he's dead lingers.
Okay, and I was lucky enough to draw a king.
Woo!
So I'm gonna play that, and we'll see what happens. So Honoré is feeling, he's feeling a lot of different things inside him. He knows that his time is coming to an end. He's seen it in, well, the numbers, in the lights, and in the fire, and in the shadows, and the numbers he's seen everywhere. He knows that his time is coming in, and he knows that he has feelings with this young man that he wants to express fully before his time is up and before he is called. So he crosses the room, and Gonzalvo is still shaken by what has happened, and Honoré puts his hands on Gonzalvo's face, and just, he says, Everything is okay. Everything will be okay. Not just tonight, but for the rest of your life, everything will be fine. This moment right now is what matters, and it is real. And then he pulls Gonzalvo in, and he kisses him, and he wraps his arms around him, and the kiss is passionate. And they make their way, over towards the bed, and Honoré grabs the cover and just throws it off the bed, and all the glass goes off with it. And he sits down with Gonzalvo as they continue to kiss passionately. And they lay back on the bed, and that'll be that.
And I have to pass.
I think a tense silence or something might be
good. Yeah, with a tense silence.
Because I also have to pass, and I think we will just let the silence speak on them. All right, so I think our scene is going to be, I think, the next morning.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know, do you sing at any particular place in the manor?
I think probably back in the kitchen. I feel like...
That's what I was thinking too, actually.
Honoré and Gonzalvo, they had their very first, like, sort of unguarded moment was in the kitchen when Gonzalvo first showed up and got settled in. I feel like the kitchen is where they find themselves the next morning.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly. That's kind of what I was thinking too. So there, we'll be in the kitchen. Maybe they're sitting and having some breakfast, just sitting at the table together.
Okay.
All right.
So I have to play a 10 of clubs. Gonzalvo is just a cascade of emotions. Undoubtedly the best night of his life. The most passionate lovemaking he's ever experienced. Honoré made him feel taken care of. He felt so at peace. After they'd made love, he lied next to him, Honoré with his arm over Gonzalvo, and there was a moment where all sound fell away, and all Gonzalvo could hear was their breathing, and for just the briefest second, their breathing, it was in sync. They were breathing at the exact same pace, and it was easy to believe that he was exactly where he needed to be. It passed, but he didn't pay too much attention to that. And now this morning, as they're eating breakfast, he reaches over to touch Honoré's hand as it's lying on the table. But just as he does so, Oliver walks in, and Honoré, who hadn't noticed that Gonzalvo reached out, stands up to help his butler, who still seems a little off balance. He stands up and he goes to him to offer him a shoulder to lean on to get to the stove.
All right, and I'm going to play the 10 of spades. So he goes, Honoré goes over to the stove with Oliver, and he gets a match out, and Oliver takes it from him. He says, "Sir, I've got this. You can help me get it ready, but I'm going to brew the tea. I need to get back to my duties. I can't just lay around and let you do everything." And he kind of takes the match out of his hand and then gets it lit and lights the stove, and he takes the match and he blows it out and puts it on the counter. So he says, "Let the tea brew. I'm going to go change into something more fitting for today and my duties, and I will be back to finish up the tea in just a moment." And so Oliver walks out kind of with a smile, as he gives a smile to Honoré as he walks out, and the two are left there, and Honoré turns, and as he turns, he sees the five there. And so he takes a deep breath, and he walks over, and he sits back at the table, and just kind of stares off into nowhere.
All right. You said you was a 10?
Yeah, 10 of spades.
I am going to play a queen of hearts.
I love the hearts in this game.
Yep. Which means I can't believe I didn't draw a single jack the entire fucking game. For jacks, for me, it was a moment of passion. I could have acted without restriction and increased emotional intimacy. I didn't draw a single one. de-escalate the threat also, and then I could do something crazy intimate, but I never drew a single one. Anyway, queen of hearts means that I can take a decisive and successful action if I want to. So just as Oliver leaves the room, Gonzalvo realizes that his time here is ending, that he might be leaving soon, but there's this absolute sinking feeling, and he's not sure what it is. He knows that he's going to be okay. Honoré's words comforted him. He agrees, you know, last night was very important, and that everything is going to be okay. He feels that. He feels that it's true. But there's something about leaving. He's not sure what it is. He can't put his finger on it. But he knows that if he doesn't kiss Honoré one more time, he'll regret it for the rest of his life. So he rushes across to Honoré, embraces him, and they kiss passionately.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right. So I am going to play the fourth ace. So Honoré and Gonzalvo kiss, and it's very, very passionate. It is somehow more passionate than their first kiss, and it is equal to the passion that they had felt whenever they made love the night before. And Honoré is happier than he had ever been in this moment. And in this moment, he knows in this moment that he loves Gonzalvo. He truly loves him at this moment. And he lets his eyes open a little bit, and in all the lights in the kitchen, and the flame on the stove, he sees different numbers. He sees a 4, and he sees a 3, and he sees a 2, And the sense of dread is creeping in. And so he kisses more passionately. He holds on tighter. And he kisses more passionately. And he's just desperately holding on to this moment. Because he knows that his time here is going to end before Gonzalvo leaves. That his leaving is going to happen first. And so he's holding on to this moment as much as he can. And the kiss ends. And Gonzalvo, you know, they part. And Honoré keeps his arms around Gonzalvo's waist. And he sees in Gonzalvo's eyes the reflection of the light that has now come through the window. He sees in the reflection of Gonzalvo's eyes, he sees a one. And he watches and everything slows down as that one kind of just fades out to nothing. And he feels it. He feels this call, and it starts in his guts, and it's not painful, but because of what it means, he feels pain, and it rushes up through him, and so he lets go of Gonzalvo because he's not sure what will happen if he is still embracing Gonzalvo when this happens. And I think we're going to break there and let and you can kind of explain what Gonzalvo sees. We're going to kind of break from the game and just play out this, you know, freeform, this last scene.
As Gonzalvo steps back and watches Honoré stand, Honoré drops his arms to his side, and with the flickering one in his eyes, it morphs into a zero, which rims the cornea of both of his eyes, and for the briefest moment, he has eyes of flames. And he says one word to Gonzalvo before bursting into rays of light, which rocket out of the windows of the kitchen. They burn holes through the glass that smolder for a second, but then solidify. And Oliver walks in just as it all happens and sees his friend depart. And he begins swearing immediately and drops to his knees and begins punching the floor, swearing, "No, you bastard. Why did you take him?" He asks Gonzalvo, "What did he say? What did he say? Did he say anything?" And Gonzalvo said, "Yes, he did. He said one word." And Oliver said, "What was it? What was the word?" And Gonzalvo said, "He said my name."
Perfect. Yeah. And I think that is where we end this tale.
I think so too.
Yeah, that was perfect. And that was Hot Guys Making Out.
Woo! Hot Guys totally made out.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not as the title, you would think that it is. I think the game has a lot more heart than maybe the title lets on.
I think so too. It's weird because it's such a goofy title. Like, obviously, it's set up to be, you know, eye-catching and to be like, oh my god, it's called Hot Guys Making Out. The last game that you and I played, like when I was on Roll last time, and we played Everybody's John. Obviously, you know, we were in a group setting. That game's also kind of set up to be goofy, but also the people we were playing with, you know, we knew it was going to get bananas. In this case, like when I started the game, my head wasn't in the space where I eventually ended up with yet. And I was trying to figure out the tone. And then I can't remember when it was. It might've been like after we walked in from outside into the front room of the manor. I seriously felt like I had some kind of like switch in my head where I was like, I feel like I'm taking this game more serious than I thought I would. Not in a like a bad way or like I was planning on screwing around or anything, but like when I think the very first thing I thought was I'm going to figure out every single way I can to make out with this other character. But then as we started playing the game, I was like, well, shit, yeah, I do want to make out with this other character, but I feel like there's more going on than just that.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever we started, I was like, you know, I wasn't sure what route we would take with it. I know that we could, I mean, because I've heard the game played kind of goofy a little bit, so it can definitely take that turn. So I wasn't quite sure what path we would take, but yeah, I kind of fell into this is going to be more of a, you know, serious game pretty early, probably right after that first scene. I love this game. I like the game. It's really cool. I like the card mechanics. I wish the system would have worked a little better that we were using, but we made it work.
Yeah, I think it didn't go how I expected it to go. I think how the game's mechanics are set up, because at first I was like, I felt like potentially we were just going to be doing whatever we wanted whenever we wanted, but because the game is set up the way it is with the deck of playing cards, there were those scenarios where I couldn't do anything other than pass, or we would have to, you know, set the scene up more. It's honestly like unlike any other game I've played, and I think pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Man, thank you so much for playing with me.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, thanks for having me. I love being on the show. I'm going to tell everybody to listen to this, and let me know when it goes up, so I'll tell everybody. This was really cool. I would 100% play Hot Guys Making Out again.
So what have you got going on? Anything you want to share, tell the people about, Twitter? You've started up a new website recently, haven't you?
So I have my personal Twitter is Austin R. Wilson. I have another Twitter account, Ledger Books, LEDGER Books. Not a whole lot of content yet. I'm still working on the main site, but it's going to be a book blog. Book reviews, book news. I'm going to have some guest contributors every once in a while, and it's just going to be a place to celebrate books. They are a huge part of my life every single day, so I want to do as much as I can with them. I've got some comics that are going to be coming out here pretty soon, some short stuff. I think I can say one of them I'll be working with Seth Haney, which I've done some other stuff in the past, and a lot of the stuff that I have going on right now is just in the editing stage. I still have a graphic novel out through Magnetic Press that you could get called Reproduct. That was illustrated by Logan Farber and lettered by David C. Hopkins, with a backup by Seth Haney and one by Sabrina Scott in there as well. So check that out. But most of the stuff that I have going on right now is in that stage where it is percolating and not yet done.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, definitely everybody go and check out Austin, follow his Twitter. I'm sure they can get all the information they need to from your Twitter. And the Ledger Twitter account. So everybody get out there, follow that stuff on Twitter to keep up with everything Austin's doing. And once again, man, thank you so much for coming on and playing this game with me.
Heck yeah, dude. It's my pleasure.
All right, that's it. I told you wouldn't see with that threat coming what it was. So cool. Got to give a big credit to Austin on that one. He really spearheaded that threat, and it was so cool. I love playing it out. I love the imagery of it at the end. Just Honoré just going back to where he came from as a sun god. Anyways, I really hope you enjoy it. Hot Guys Making Out is a terrifically fun game to play. It's got really cool card play mechanics behind it, and you can take it, you can put it in other settings. I'm definitely going to run it again at some time and maybe get really goofy with it. Try to think of a really funny, goofy setting. Big thanks to Austin for coming on and playing with me. Again, head over to AustinRWilson.com to check out everything Austin's doing. Links to all of his work, links to all of his important social media accounts. Go support Austin. He is a great, great creative dude and a great friend of mine. All right, next week we have Shooting the Moon, which is from the Romance Trilogy written by Emily Carebos. And let me tell you, you're going to get two-hour episodes because myself, Tim Devine, and Tim's wife, Kristen Devine, recorded this game for 4 hours, and it was a blast. Shooting the Moon has become one of my favorite games to play. Shooting the Moon is so much fun, and I highly recommend everybody to check out the Romance Trilogy and give Shooting the Moon a look. All right, so I'm going to wrap this episode up, get on out of here. But what I would like to do, I'd like to remind you to get out there, have fun, and roll to play. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Visit roll2playpodcast.com for more information. ROLL2playpodcast.com. Like us over on Facebook at Roll2Play Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Roll2PlayPod. have a question or comment, email us at road2playpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to play with the game with us, just hit us up on any of our social media and let us know. And lastly, our music is the intro track from the Spellbreaker EP by Tri-Tachyon. Visit soundcloud.com/Tri-Tachyon.